my phone genuinely was like blowing up. And I had text messages and phone calls from friends. And they're like, we are so sorry to see what your ex-father-in-law wrote. And I'm like, what did he write? Because I don't really look at socials a ton. And then I went and looked, and in a couple different places, I don't even remember exactly what he said. It was something along the lines of, a fat Taylor Swift will never succeed, or something like that.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Powell, and here on the Peach Jam Podcast, I get to introduce you to incredible Georgia musicians, from hometown favorites you already love to brand new voices you're about to discover. It's my job to find different types of people and different types of sounds from all over the Peach State. This podcast is a mix of performances and down-to-earth conversations, all recorded live at the GPB Studios in Midtown Atlanta. This is a special bonus episode, and we're catching up with a band that has gone through some major life changes since the last time I talked to them, but they're still here.
I've been beaten up, been face down, but I'm peeling and pulling myself off the ground. So ready or not, here I come.
I'm Ian.
I'm Adam.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Katie. We're Run Katie Run, roots rock band based here in Atlanta, Georgia.
And y'all were a part of season 3 of Peach Jam, I believe.
Yeah, is that season 3?
I think it was. I think it was season 3 of Peach Jam. It was a while ago, but I'm excited to have you back in studio, but you're one less member now. So let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. Well, that's not in the room.
The former elephant.
Yeah. So when we came here, we had a fifth member who was an excellent guitar player, and I'm sure he still is. But he was my husband, and we got divorced. And yeah, it's been a very interesting year. I remember specifically we came here in April of 2024 because it was the same month that we did Amplify Decatur. So I just remember being like, wow, things are happening. And then like, man. A year later, what a different reality. I think it was a long time coming. We are just different people who wanted different things. And here we are.
I've had the chance to talk to married couples who play together, and, you know, they make it work and they make it happen, but it's usually just them and other people that they kind of, I don't know, they hire out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all are a band that had a married couple inside of it, but there's multiple people. What is that like when things are going haywire?
Yeah, good question. I want to know, too.
Well, Kate did an excellent job of... us, I guess both of them, but I think particularly Kate, making us kind of unaware. And then I think, like, we weren't aware that things were bad,
mm-hmm.
and like between them or whatever. And so I think when things came to light for us is when we were able to help. And, you know, because like Kate's very, you know, she's always on, you know, and I now, live at the house, and my daughter comes by, and I live downstairs, like literally right behind the drum set that you see in our videos.
Yeah.
And now I get to see like what kind of goes into, like, we'd always show up at practice and everything was like perfect and cleaned up and like ready to go and stuff. But yeah, so she's very on, and she's always like putting forth the best version. And I guess just didn't, yeah, they just, we just were not aware.
So like, did it even feel like we were married? Like, I'm curious.
Oh, I guess if, you know what as I mean? Far as like problems.
When we were in a band together,
like
was
before
it?
Before.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't like bicker or anything, yeah. You also weren't overly like.
It was professional.
Yeah, you were very professional. Like, obviously mm-hmm. they'd be like close, like a married couple would, but it was mm-hmm. never like, there wasn't, there were other things that would hold up our progress and stuff and productivity, but it was never the fact that they were married.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually a really nice compliment to you.
Well, thanks.
That you were able to do that. That, you know, band business is band business and married business was married business.
I tried really, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but like for the last several years, I think the band is what I had. Mm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. things were not good between us and it was showing zero hope of getting better. And I think I just put a lot of what I wanted out of a marriage, I put it into a band instead. So like I know that sounds really sad and it kind of is, but it is true. Like I just, it's what I lived for, you know? Mm-hmm. And because mm-hmm. I wasn't getting much elsewhere. So I think it was kind of easy to stay professional because I was just like, oh, this is not really going anywhere, but the band is. Mm-hmm. So I just put a lot of my love and attention and care into that.
There's been stolen time, a glass ceiling to break, but the band and song still has my name. So ready or not, here I come.
So at the beginning of 2025, basically Steven and I have no idea what the heck
I bought
technically, but the video, the cameras and stuff, I just deferred to Steven because he was the one that always knew that stuff the best out of the four of us. So at the beginning, before any of the personal stuff happened, we invested quite a hefty chunk of change into getting cameras because we were like, let's really focus on YouTube because it's just something that we could be doing when we're in our 70s. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like a version of that, whatever's hip and cool at the time. But, you know.
70-year-olds.
70-year-olds. Yeah.
That's what's hip and cool.
We're going to make it cool, baby. So we, and then everything went down, you know, so we bought all these cameras and stuff, hardly used them because we had probably something we'll talk about later in the interview. So we had a real consistency problem in the group.
A sabotage problem.
A sabotage uh-huh. problem. And then, yeah, so that was one of the first things that we pivoted to in the after times after the separation happened and the divorce was underway. It was just something I would really wanted to do for a long time. The guys were always behind it. Like, I really want to make a lot of live videos, live stream, do collaborations. And it just was constantly delayed. And now we're finally doing it. So, yeah, it's a lot of like ideas that have always been on the back burner that are finally getting pushed to the front. And we're really enjoying it. And I think every time it gets better.
Yeah, it's becoming lower effort finally.
Yeah.
Like once we put everything in place and got everything squared away, it's just kind of like show up, turn them on, pull focus and start going. And then after mm-hmm. that, one of us will edit it and it's done.
Adam
and we don't have to think about it for like, oh, did I finish that project from 2 months ago that's ready to go? And
yeah, things are quick.
Things are really turnaround fast. Same thing with recording music. Like we never recorded it as, and it's not like we're trying to be fast. It's just, it goes so much faster.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we Corey was such a big part of the identity with his guitar playing, and so we were trying to like refigure out all of the old songs, and everything just felt weird. We even had a show where you try to do like one of the guitar solos, and we're just like, and so we just were like, we have to do new music. I think we all just kind of agreed on that, and we're like, okay, then let's record an EP. So like, super quickly, we all were just doing it. I remember talking with you after and just being like, because the performances are all like really good from Kate, and she's like, oh, I don't even remember doing that. I was so like not in a great mental place.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it was just like action, action, action. Like do stuff.
It's Friday night again. It's Friday night and you're with her and I'm with me and that's no good. I still remember when you were in my room and not just my mind. Those memories aren't hard to find. Turn off the light and keep me blind. And I could have cried for you, but the tears got stuck in my eye. I would have told the truth, but it's so much easier to lie. I wake up, I don't grow up the way I know I should. I'm no good.
Steven does all our videos, like all the collaboration videos you see, that's him. And he, all the camera work, him. He does all our editing of our new video podcast series called My Best Friend's House. He edits all of those. Ian does all of our mixing, mastering, recording. Oh, I guess we master somewhere else.
Yeah,
but,
no master.
All our audio. I do all our booking and managing and kind of just making sure all the puzzle pieces are getting put together smoothly.
Chief Vision Officer as well.
Yeah, you create schedules for us for when we're going on the road, and you organize the calendar, and you do the website and the email blast, and yeah, you do the most.
Yeah, thanks. But I feel like it's so much less than what I used to have to do. You know what I mean? Because I had amazing friends who just happened to be my bandmates that just were like, we got this. And I've never looked back. And now I feel like I'm not afraid to ask you guys to do more because you guys want to be there, and you are... You know what's weird is you want this to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm going to give you some tea, as the kids say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, careful, it's hot.
Super hot. Boiling hot.
We sound so old.
I know. I know. We are.
This little bit of info. This is coffee.
This is coffee.
This is stronger.
Strong.
Is that allowed?
I don't know. We're making it a thing. This is coffee. Americano. What did he say? Okay, so he quit the band like mid-April, and we didn't separate until the end of May. Mm-hmm. So there was this weird period of time, and this is like, if he hadn't said this one sentence, for all I know, we'd still be married. But when he told the guys that he was quitting, he said, you know, I realized I subconsciously never wanted Run Kitty Run to succeed.
And then gave a bunch of examples of time. Anyway.
No, go on.
Wow.
Just gave a bunch of examples of big moments that happened in our, as things were, there'd be times in the past where things were looking up for us, and that would, there'd always be some sort of crisis that would happen, a reason that things couldn't go well. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I think that's why those things happened. And then our conversation ended and we all went home, and everybody starts thinking about what that means and starts, you know, the thoughts start connecting like, oh, and then we tried talking about it later. And anyway, yeah, so it was just saying, like, a bunch of things that slowed us down were on purpose, which felt crazy to find out.
I'm still the one you want, but I want to be the one you need. The walls I built have made a waiting room for one, not two, so I'll have to stay. You'll have
one of the things, though, that has been brought out of all this that I think is awesome, you alluded to it, is the Dolly Parton shows. Tell me about those.
Oh, my gosh. So it was something we talked about doing for a long time because we play at Dollywood. Mm-hmm. This will be our sixth year playing there. And, you know, we get asked to do, like, if, you know, little things like, oh, we're doing a Dolly night. Do you guys want to play? Because, you know, we're like, yeah. And so it's something that we've talked about. And then somebody never wanted to do it.
Mm.
And I'm like, why? It would be, you know, I try to, music is my business. So you have to think like a business sometimes. Like, tributes do just great right now. It just finally, as soon as it became something, I realized that the three of them wanted to do, I'm like, let's do it. We learned like 26 songs in like, I don't know, over 2 months. We've only had three shows so far, really. And
had our first sellout just this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. And everyone has gone better than the one before. Like, mm-hmm. three shows. And I honestly thought it was going to be something we did for money, like so we could keep doing Run Kitty Run in my best friend's house, all the YouTube things. I love it. It is so much fun. Oh my gosh. I have cue cards where I tell little facts about the songs and I don't pretend to be Dolly. Maybe that's why it's so fun to me. It's like, we still get to be Run Kitty Run. And we throw in a couple originals and strangely our song Here I Come.
It goes great.
I think it's done the best even against the Dolly songs. Like mm-hmm. people really, that's cool. Again, an added bonus. I wasn't expecting our original music to really be a part of it, and it is, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're really loving it. How are you guys feeling about it?
Same.
Yeah?
Oh, love it. It's, well, because we started out learning the songs, and they're all weirdly structured, which you don't notice just listening to it. Like a lot of good songs, when you try to tear them apart, like they'll be just like a four-chord song or something, but these just... Mm-hmm. They're all based on the vocals, I guess. So, like, they'll have longer sections. And it wasn't as hard for me because I'm the drummer. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, man, watching all of you learn and just being like, I just hear the next, like, and this is our batch of four or five for this week that we're going to start. And I'm just going like, oh, my gosh. Like, I just would feel terrible for you guys. There's all these, like, why'd you come in? You're looking like that. It just has all these little, like,
lots of syncopations. And I'm playing way more guitar than I've ever done in my life, you know, because all the licks and stuff in there.
It's a lot to do.
It's just me now, so I have to do it, you know? And again, I feel like that should be my motto in life. It's like, I just have to, because that's like when I have my biggest moments of musical growth. It's like, I just have to, I guess.
Has this allowed you to have more respect for Dolly now?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Big time.
Everybody loves her.
Silent backing band. Yeah, oh, my God.
Everybody loves her. Everybody knows all the good things, and her songwriting, her lyrics are amazing. But then to find out that the music is actually really difficult, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yes. And vocally, like I was saying, like, God, I've like learned to sing better because of it. Like, she is an amazing. I mean, again, things we all know. Wait till you sing a whole night of her song. She is one of the most talented vocalists, in my opinion, that is alive right now. Mm-hmm. Whole new respect for her. And then on top of it, like, again, part of the show is learning some facts about the songs and, like, you know, kind of putting a little story together about her life. Man, she works harder than anybody. Mm-hmm. She has done so much in her life. We could totally take a giant shift here and I could just gush about Dolly for a whole hour because I love her so much.
Sure. I didn't say you couldn't. No.
So let's talk Dolly.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Turn off the light and keep me blind. I wake up, I don't grow up the way I know I should, because I'm no good. The tears got stuck in my way I know I should. I'm no good. I'm no good.
I didn't try.
What I want to know before we go is, being a band and having a following on social media and things like that means that you're regionally famous or locally famous or hoping to be famous, which means that when you're going through stuff, people might write on your social media accounts nasty things.
It happens.
What happened?
So, well, I'll start by saying that, like, we are pretty active on social media. And so people notice when you disappear. Mm-hmm. And, like, for the first month, I feel like I didn't post anything. And then, thankfully, Adam took it over and we started posting more things. And then we were so active that really I think people got on our side and were, like, cheering us on. And then in, like, early January, I get my phone genuinely was, like, blowing up. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And I had text messages and phone calls from friends. And they're like, we are so sorry to see what your ex-father-in-law wrote. And I'm like, what did he write? Because I don't really look at socials a ton. And then I went and looked. And in a couple different places, I don't even remember exactly what he said. It was something along the lines of a fat Taylor Swift will never succeed or something like that. And he wrote it in a few different places. And before Facebook and took him down, because people reported him. Did you guys know this? Like, our fans, like, reported it on our behalf.
Yeah, we didn't have to, like, defend ourselves at all, which is
it's kind of like our mode. I was like, if you ever see a negative comment,
just
don't
leave it.
Just leave it. Let everybody else defend us for us. Like, mm-hmm. we don't have to do it. And typically that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Well, they came out strong on this one. And the comments got taken down, but not before I got screenshots and used it to my advantage. You can find a really interesting reel on our stuff.
We whatever played a Taylor Swift song.
We did. We mean, why you gotta be so mean? But yeah, that's, what are you gonna do?
It's just an invitation for anybody who's got something nasty to say.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
I really don't care.
Please write it down.
Engagement's awesome.
Engagement's awesome, and we'll probably find a way to use it to our advantage. Yeah. Yeah. Social media can be interesting. It's interesting.
I don't know that one.
That's quoting
Poppy.
Your daughter.
Remember?
Amazing. Oh, yeah. When I first moved in. Yeah. I'm also going through a bit of a life change. But when I moved into what was once the control room, it was just like a futon and then just
a wall of stuff.
A wall of gear that was yet to be moved out of the house and stuff. And yeah, my daughter just looks up and goes, this room is interesting.
She's 3.5.
Yeah. It was Thanksgiving or something.
It was like the week before. But yeah, she was she was being polite, which I thought was adorable. She was like, it's interesting.
The vibe's off.
That's like, what she said to me. And I'm like, you're right. That's a really nice way of saying full of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really fun.
Want to climb on this futon with me?
Yeah.
Wow! Everything is going great.
We're gonna be okay.
Once the show starts,
we are okay.
We're being okay.
Yeah, we're more than okay.
It all started out innocently. I met a boy with talent and potential and need, and I fancy myself a generous lass. I like to give time, love, energy without ever being nice. But I gotta admit, I'm reluctant now. Because I've been in this ride too many times, and I'm starting to see between your lines that you take what you can get. Oh, you take what you can get. Oh, you take what you can get. And then you push, push, push. Tell you know I'm feeling weaker when you take what you can get. Oh, you take what you can get. Yeah, you take what you can get. Over there, teach me how to harmonize when you got a six to spare. You're breathing up all of my air. You say you make me the best that I can be.
push.
Proud, like I will end by saying, like I didn't, like I said already, I didn't feel like I was being strong or tough or resilient at first. It was like, I don't want to lose my job. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want to lose clients because I just, you know, you don't know how powerful somebody is until they're gone, sort mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. Where I truly believed that nobody would want me without him. Mm. So like, that was my. Oof, I just got sad thinking about that, but it's true. Like, I was like, no one's going to want to just hire me or run Katie Run without him. Like, we did everything together from the beginning. So the first several months was just kind of like rewiring my brain to like feel valuable again, you know, without a sidekick. And I didn't feel like I was being strong or tough. I just wanted to keep my job. And now I look back and I'm like, I was so tough, and I'm so proud of everything that I did. I'm so proud I got out of it because I can see a reality where I didn't, and that would have been even worse. And I don't know if we would have made it as a band. We shouldn't have made it as a band with this. Like, this could have totally been the end. And if it weren't for these three, I don't know what my life would be like right now. And I'm very proud of you guys, too. You guys made it easy. I mean, a really hard thing, you made it so much easier. And I'll never be able to repay you for that. That was awesome. The end.
Just to ruin your pin there.
That's fine.
I think we basically had to start a new band.
Yeah.
From that point forward. And the only way to do that is to like be willing to. I think without your vision, we wouldn't have done it. And without our ability to commit, we wouldn't have done it.
Thanks for listening. If you like what we're doing here at Peach Jam, tell somebody. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your pastor, your mailman, your state representative, your kid's teacher, whoever you can find. And if this is your first time here, I invite you to go back and listen to some of the other episodes. You might just find that your next favorite band lives right down the road. The Peach Jam Podcast is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jeremy Powell. If you want to recommend an artist to be on the show, send me an email, peachjam@gpb.org. Sandy Malcolm is our executive producer. Recording, mixing, and mastering by David Spence and Victoria Evans Cash. Special thanks to the team at Sounds Good. Find us on Instagram at Peach Jam Podcast and look for Peach Jam on TV wherever you watch Georgia Public Broadcasting. In the meantime, please support live local music and independent record stores in your area.